Welcome, everybody. My name is Jake, and I have the honor of being the lead pastor of CA Students in 678, which are the high school and junior high ministries of Christian Assembly. And I just want to say I'm so glad that you decided to join us for our online service today. I'm so glad you're here. If you want to get connected with a pastor, please contact us through our app or email the email address you see on your screen. Well, I wanted to take a moment to remember and to honor all those who have sacrificed their lives by serving in our military. We're so thankful for their service. And I also just want to honor and say thank you to all of you who have served, who are serving, and to all of you who have family members serving in the military. We honor you. See, I just want to say thank you for your continued generosity and giving. You can give online by clicking the Give tab, or you can use our Christian Assembly LA app. If you have any questions about online giving, go ahead and email us at info@cachurch.com. If you're mailing in your offering, go ahead and make the check out to Christian Assembly and send it to the address you see on your screen. If you want to make a decision to follow Christ, you can email us at the email address you see on your screen, or you can text DECISION to 52855. We would love to personally follow up with you and encourage you and really walk with you in the next steps of following Jesus. Well, I just want to give a big shout out to the CA students and 678 family. I love you. I'm proud of you. Can't wait to see you on Wednesday night at CA Students Live. And to any students who haven't yet been a part of CA Students or 678, I just want to say we want you to be with us. You belong here at CA Students. We would love for you to be a part of us. Any student from 6th to 8th grade in junior high, 9th through 12th in high school would be more than welcome to join us. CA Students Live is on Instagram and YouTube. Come join us. And to all the Christian Assembly family, thank you for just your love, your support of the students of Christian Assembly. Well, now we're going to get started. I want to encourage you, if you're willing and you're able, don't just stay sitting back. Go ahead and stand on up and let's worship together. But first, let me pray. Compassionate and gracious God, thank you for your love. Thank you for your grace. I pray today that as we discover more of who you are, that you would encounter us and that we would never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my tomb till I met.
Let's sing, let's sing.
But you called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glory.
Out of the darkness into your glorious day.
was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan. Now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing. Now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. And when you call my name,
Savior.
What a Savior sent from heaven. Jesus, we believe you are the Son of God, our Lord forever. Jesus, we receive your love, your love.
I was lost, but he brought me in. Oh, his love for me. Oh, his love for me. Who the sun said.
Hey everybody, welcome. My name is Tom Hughes, one of the pastors here at Christian Assembly, and I have an exciting announcement to get to share with you. I'm here with Noel Walker, and the announcement that I'm going to be sharing is that Noel is going to be joining our student ministries team as one of our associate youth pastors on June 16th. I want to give you a little bit of backstory so that you understand how this kind of all occurred. Noel is actually married to Jake Walker, who is our lead youth pastor. Jake didn't have any say in the process of the final interviews, but the team that was in the final interview, which include myself, our executive pastor, Albert Kim, as well as Viv Stone, we were all unanimous that we felt like Noel was the right choice for this role in this season. And so we made that decision a while ago, but Noel's been a teacher, so we wanted to allow her to finish out her teaching year. Noel did her undergrad work with a degree in education from Loyola Marymount University. She actually grew up locally in La Cañada, and so she's been volunteering already with our students and serving as a volunteer. A lot of our leaders already know her and students as well. And so, Noel, I just want to say I'm excited. It's an honor and a privilege to welcome you starting mid-June to our staff team. And would you just take a moment to say a few words to the church community?
Thanks so much, Tom. I'm so thrilled. I'm so excited, and I'm so grateful for this opportunity. The last 3 years serving at CA Students, that's been one of my favorite things I've gotten to do. And so I'm so excited, students, to continue to seek Jesus with you, and families to get to know you even better. So thank you so much, so much for this opportunity.
One of the things I love about Noelle is that her own story of coming to faith was through a youth group and through a student ministries at a different church. And so that impacted her, and now she gets to pay that forward. So if you would join me now, we're just going to pray for Noelle. And so wherever you are, join your prayers with mine. And so, Lord, I pray now, extend my hand of blessing to Noelle Walker, and I pray your blessing over her. I pray, God, that you would make her fruitful and abundant in all of her ministry endeavors. Give her a heart of a servant and of a leader. I know she already has that, but increase it even more. I pray, Lord, that you'd give her wisdom for every time she interacts with parents or with students about how to best lead them and point them to you. Give her an even deeper heart for your word. Give her an even greater filling of your spirit. Mark her with your character. Lord, I know that you've already surrounded her with people who love her. We're so honored and privileged to have her on the team. But Lord, may you raise up people who will pray for her in this new season. We pray for all of our student ministries, all of our leaders, all of our volunteers, all of our staff, all of our families. God, that together, by your spirit and grace, that we would lead spiritually convinced and unconvinced students to complete commitment in Jesus Christ. We thank you for the gift of Noelle Walker and this new season that will start in the middle of June. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Noelle. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank you, everybody. We're so excited for this new season.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lauren.
My name is Sarah Kahn, and I'm a freshman at CA student.
Hi, my name is Long, and I'm a volunteer at 678.
Hi, my name is Jude, and I'm in 10th grade.
My name is Emily Nava, and I'm a volunteer.
My name is Owen Brown, and I'm in 6th grade, and I'm a part of 678.
Quarantine has been really difficult for me. I'm very social, and I love talking to people. God has so radically been on the move in my life.
He has given me time to read his word and really hear from him and get to have a closer relationship with God through the word.
The Lord has mainly been working in me. He has spoken to me and revealed himself to me in ways that have given me a hunger to be more like him and to act out more in his spirit.
God has been teaching me in this time of quarantine is to just be grateful for all that I'm privileged with, all of the relationships inside my life and also my church community.
I see God using the quarantine to free me from my routine, which I felt I needed to be able to choose and think differently.
I was encouraged by one of my friends to read my Bible, and I just felt like this surge of motivation to do so, and I haven't stopped since. I've been reading my Bible daily, and I've just dived so much deeper into my connection with God, and it's just been such a blessing.
During this time of quarantine, I've had so much anxiety, and in the midst of that confusion and these feelings, I've been seeing God just remind me of my identity in Christ, that He knows my name, that He is with me presently and currently working. It's been so awesome to just rest in the assurance of God and trust Him.
He's been blessing me with peace and encouragement and just frequently been blessing me with His word and His presence.
I've grown so much in maturity and humility and patience in my life. And for that, I thank Him and I consider that a blessing.
Thank you all, and thank you, God.
Welcome, CA family. Wow, what a moving video that was. 678ers, high schoolers, can I just say, I'm so proud of you guys. I love you. It's one of the great joys and privileges of my life to be your pastor. Hey, together, let's continue encountering Jesus and joining His mission together. Wider CA family, it's my joy and privilege to be with you this morning, this weekend. My name is Levi Walker. I'm one of the youth pastors on the team here, and I can't wait to see what God is going to speak to us this weekend. Well, over 30 years ago, in 1988, terrible fires swept through the Yellowstone National Park area, and they burned 1.2 million acres, devastating the area around them.
However, prominent in that area was a kind of tree known as a lodgepole pine. And something distinct about this kind of tree was that their pine cones are sealed in this resin, keeping the seeds safe inside of them. And so when the fire swept through, they destroyed the forest, but also they caused the pine cones to fall, and the fire melted the resin, allowing the seeds to come out and plant themselves in the ground. And so even though the forest was destroyed, there was a prolific growth of lodgepole pines after the fire had passed. In the 1.2 million acres decimated by the fire, rangers calculated that there was an average of 7,000 seedlings per acre of the area that was destroyed by the fire. And so when it seemed like the forest was destroyed, even as it was being destroyed, there was still a life-giving force at work, bringing new life out of the death. The fire wasn't the end of the story, because even the fire was used to bring new life out of the death. See, family, I know that some of us feel right now like there's a fire raging in our lives. But what if the destruction wasn't the end of the story? What if even the fire could be used to bring new life out of death? We're in a series called Hope Found Here. We've been talking about the promises of God. And really, life with God is only made possible by knowing the promises of God. You're only going to experience the peace of God, the power of God, the presence of God, once you believe and respond to the promises of God. And I believe that God has a promise that he wants to encourage and build us up with this weekend. So would you guys pray with me and believe in faith that the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us this weekend? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much that you are here with us right now, that wherever we find ourselves in various homes or different places, Holy Spirit, you are here with every single one of us. I thank you for that. And I pray that as your presence is with us, that when we come to your word, you would illuminate it for us, that you would speak to us, revealing things we hadn't seen before and proving to us your closeness, your love, and your power in our lives. We pray that we would be built up, that we would follow you more closely and love you more dearly. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, the promise that I want to talk about this weekend comes from Romans chapter 8. It's found in verse 28, and it says this: "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purposes." In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. This promise claims that in every situation, God is at work to bring good out of it for our sakes and for his glory. And I want to be clear what this is not saying. This is not everything happens for a reason. That's not in the Bible, by the way. This is in everything that happens, God is at work to bring good out of it. But if you're anything like me, you might wonder, how can that happen? How can that be real? How can God take something bad and bring something good out of it? They're opposites, right? But the truth is, the answer to that question is that it's all rooted in the resurrection of Jesus. The way God works in our world is through redemption. The story of Scripture is not of some God that is from a distance playing chess with people like pawns, sacrificing them for some greater motive. No, the testimony of Scripture is of a God who stepped into the game, of a God who stepped into our pain so that out of our pain he could bring new life and conquer even evil and death. It's the story of a God who works good out of all things, even things we can't imagine. And God has a track record of making good on this promise. Even in the very first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, the story of Joseph is a perfect example of this. Joseph had a great life that really fell apart. His own brothers sold him into slavery into Egypt. And after living an upstanding, integrous life in Egypt, he was falsely accused of sexual misconduct and thrown in jail. And then after living an upright and integrous life in jail, he was forgotten by his friend who had promised to give him a good word. And for years, he waited in prison. But the thing is that this is not where his story ends. God worked good out of his suffering. Out of his suffering, he was positioned to save a nation. God brought him out of prison into position, second only to Pharaoh himself, and ultimately used Joseph to prepare Egypt for a devastating famine that they were able to endure. And Joseph summarizes this whole experience to his own brothers who originally sold him into slavery this way in Genesis 50:20. You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. CA family, maybe you've had someone harm you, and maybe like Joseph's brothers, they intended to do it. Maybe someone didn't intend to hurt you, but you're still hurt and it's real. Can I just say that there is hope for you here? God will not let harm be the end of your story. And I don't want to whitewash it. It will require prayer, may even require counseling and more. Joseph's story took years to unfold to get to redemption. But the promise of God endures all of those years. There is hope found here for us. Our God is a God who makes good on his promise of redemption. Christian hope is not found in rationalizing pain. It's found in the redemption of pain. A few weeks ago, Tom taught us that understanding pain is not what helps you to endure it. Knowing what's on the other side of pain does. Hope of redemption is what changes the game, allowing you to endure through the pain. CA family, God is not going to waste your pain. He will bring good out of it. There is joy on the other side. God will take your pain and through his resurrection power, make dead things live. Again, this promise is not talking about whether or not God caused the difficulty. That's an important question, and it's worth talking about. And the Bible gives true and helpful ways to think about that. What this promise is saying, it's promising that God will work good out of the difficulty. He will bring life out of death. And so if this promise is true, then what does it mean for our lives? I want to give us two things that I think we can apply to our lives. First, if this promise is true, then you have hope, not just hype for your future. You have hope, not just hype for your future. In the midst of difficulty, hope and hype say different things. Hype says, oh, this isn't that bad, and it fakes it. Hope says, no, this is bad, but this is not the end. Right? Hype is denial. Hope is defiance. Hope is not denying that things are wrong. It's defying that the wrong will win. It's believing that the bad things will not be the last things, but that joy is coming. And hope is grounded in a person, not just groundless optimism. Your hope is only as good as the person that it's grounded in. What groundless optimism can never ultimately answer is why you should have hope. Some people will say, well, I'm hopeful because the stock market is doing well. First of all, it's not. Second of all, that can change on a dime, right? Well, some people may say, I'm hopeful because I have good friends. Well, even the best friends can be inconsistent at times. Some people will say, oh, I'm hopeful because I'm healthy. Well, a few months ago, pandemic was just a board game, not a global reality that we're currently experiencing. Even the best situations and people are faulty grounds for hope because they can change. The only ground for true hope needs to be in something or someone that will never change. CA family, the only reason to be truly hopeful is because you can be held in the unchanging love of an unchanging God. If your hope is in the almighty, unchanging God, King of the universe, then your hope is as unshakable as the very character of God himself. Because we hope in the redeeming, resurrecting God, we have hope, not just hype for our future. We don't stand in denial pretending that things aren't bad. We stand in holy defiance declaring that the bad things won't win. CA family, are there areas of your life that you need to grow a holy defiance in? Maybe you've made agreements with despair and called it realism. When God's word actually says something else about what is true. can we agree that the only realism is finding our grounding in the real truth of God's word? If you disagree with the truth of God's word and despair, you're not helping anybody and you're definitely not helping yourself. We need to disagree with despair and agree with God's hope, with his promise of redemption. Secondly, if this promise is true, then because a hopeful future is secure, a confident present is possible. Because a hopeful future is secure, a confident present is possible. I've heard people criticize Christians saying that Christians just have to pretend like nothing is wrong and nothing really affects them. And if we're being honest, then I myself and I know other Christians can kind of drift into believing or even acting that way. But the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible doesn't teach that you have to pretend through your problems. The Bible teaches that you are able to persevere through your problems because of the power of God. You know, Jesus actually promised that we would face trials, and he promised that his presence would be with us in the problem. In John 16:33, Jesus says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Our peace doesn't come from our circumstances. It comes from a person with us in the circumstances. And the New Testament goes on in James chapter 1. The Bible says to consider trials a joy. It says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance." Some of you are like, "Consider trials joy? Why would I do that?" Let me be clear. It's not because trials are pleasant, right? Remember, we're not about faking here. But we consider trials a joy because with the presence of God, problems become potential for perseverance. So we can be released from our need to pretend, and we can be released from our need to despair. Because we know, we can be confident that God is at work, even in the worst circumstances, to bring good out of it. When you know that God is working good for your future, it changes the way that you can live in your present. I'm a huge fan of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, but the first time I watched them when they were coming out, I have to confess, I actually watched them in reverse order. I watched the third one, then the second one, then the first one. Not a recommended way to watch it, but that's just how it happened for me. The thing is, what resulted from that is because I had watched the third movie. When I watched the first and second movies, I watched them with the end in mind. So a little spoiler alert, if you haven't seen them, you can just click forward 30 seconds. But also if you haven't seen them, it's been 20 years. It's time to see these movies, right? But when I was watching the second movie and it seemed like darkness and evil was going to win, I knew that at the end of the third movie, the ring is destroyed and all evil is conquered forever. When I was watching the first movie and Gandalf fell, I knew that Gandalf came back in the second movie. And so I was able to watch these movies with a different kind of peace, a different kind of joy and confidence in the midst of it, because I knew how the story ended. CA family, that's how we can live our lives, not just watch movies. We can live our lives this way. Scripture gives us perspective on how our story ends, so we can live our lives with the end of our story in mind. When our world seems chaotic and hopeless, I know Jesus is coming back again. When we grieve, when things are wrong and sad and tragic, I'm looking forward to the end when he has promised he will wipe every tear from my eye. When people pass away, even loved ones pass away, I'm looking forward to the resurrection and to Jesus' promise that he will make all things new again. We can live knowing that the bad things are not the last things. And because of that, we can live our lives in the present with confidence that comes from a certain good future. I love what 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 says. "Because of his glory and excellence, God has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. CA family, what effort can you make to respond to this promise, to respond to the truth that in every circumstance, God is working good out of it? What's an area of your life that feels dark right now? Maybe you've lost hours or even your whole job right now. Maybe there's tension within your family unit in the midst of quarantine. I want to offer us two practical ways that we can make every effort to respond to God's promises. And the first one is this: be like a treasure hunter. Be like a treasure hunter. Have you ever been to the beach and, you know, you're doing kind of like normal beach things like laying in the sun or getting in the water, playing volleyball, and then someone with a metal detector comes around and they're just beep, 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 booping around? Yeah, I've always thought that was kind of goofy, kind of a hobby that people have, but I read a little bit about it and you can find some pretty sweet stuff in metal detecting. In 2014, a Scottish guy named Derek McLennan found Viking artifacts totaling up to $2.5 million. So big personal win for Derek and, you know, win for archaeology in general. Thank you, metal detector. In 1989, a guy unearthed the largest gold nugget ever found in the Western Hemisphere called the Boot of Cortez, right? Just with a metal detector. And some of us might be thinking like, man, when I go to the beach, all I come away with is a sunburn. why am I not finding this treasure? Why don't I experience these great gains? And here's why I think it is. I think it's because I'm not looking for them. I think it's because I'm too busy in the water. I'm too busy laying on the towel, and I haven't yet picked up a metal detector. Maybe when we're living life and things are really hard and it seems like all my friends are getting blessed and meeting God and it feels like I'm not, maybe it's not that God isn't blessing me, but it's that I'm not looking for the ways that he might be doing so already. It requires a decision to believe that God is at work in my life. And then it requires a decision to look for the ways that God is working in our life. How is God providing redemption in your story? Have you believed that it's there? And have you looked for it? Have you decided that I'm going to find every single way that God is working in my life? Maybe it's time for us to get up off the beach towel, pick up the metal detector, and go treasure hunting. What might you find in the midst of your life right now? Maybe you're going to find family connection during quarantine that wouldn't have happened because of other schedules. Maybe you're going to find even people in our church and others serving the most vulnerable. How are you going to find ways that God is redeeming, bringing redemption in your life? Will you choose to look for it? Will you choose to be like a treasure hunter? The second way I want to offer us is, how about we join God's work of redemption? Our God is a God of redemption, and following Jesus is not just about believing all the right things about him. It's about following him. It's about doing the kinds of things that he did. When Jesus was here, he raised up disciples. I love the way Dallas Willard paraphrases that. He calls them the apprentices of Jesus. He calls them apprentices in eternal living, watching the master and learning a new way to be human. Jesus didn't just teach people a certain kind of thinking. He trained people in a certain kind of living. He lived, died, and rose again. And then he gave us his Holy Spirit, empowering us to carry on the work of redemption, carrying on expanding his kingdom everywhere we go, manifesting his kingdom. CA family, what's a way that you can join our God in bringing good out of bad? What's a way that you can join our God bringing redemption out of the hardest circumstances? Maybe it's offering practical help. Maybe it's knowing and offering your elderly neighbors to get groceries for them. Maybe you know that some of your friends are running low on toilet paper and you can provide that for them. I'm so blown away and impressed with so many of you that have answered the call and come to help serve with us, the CA Pantry. Providing from your own resources groceries for those that don't have it so that they can continue to live, that sounds a lot like Jesus. That sounds a lot like bringing good out of a bad situation. Maybe in addition to practical support, you can just offer something as simple as a listening ear, a prayer, and a blessing in Jesus' name. CA family, how are you going to make every effort to respond to the promise that God is working good out of every situation? Will you even join God in bringing good out of every situation? Well, this promise comes from Romans chapter 8, and after that promise, the rest of the chapter responds to this incredible promise, and I want to read it for us. But as I read it, if you're a follower of Jesus, I don't want you to just hear this and know that it's true in some general sense. I want you to hear this and understand that it's true about you. Romans 8, 31 through 39 says this: "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It's God who justifies. Who is it then that condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. It feels like we're considered sheep to be slaughtered. But no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." CA family, nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing can separate you from his promise that he will bring redemption where there is brokenness. Nothing can separate you from his promise to bring good out of the bad. Not a pandemic, nor quarantine, nor job loss, nor toilet paper shortages, nor uncertain reopening timelines, nor a million Zoom calls, nor anything else in all of creation can separate you from God's love and care. And it's not because we're faking it, putting on a brave face without hope. It's because we have hope that we can stand firm in the midst of it. Because we serve a God with resurrection power, we can believe that even things that are dead can be brought to life again. The world will tell you a certain story about God, but the Word of God will tell you a different story than the world. The world may say that if there is evil, then God isn't real. But the Word says that if there is evil, then God is getting to work to bring good out of it. The world may say that if it isn't joyful yet, then God is a fraud. But the Word says that if it isn't joyful yet, all that means is it's not the end yet, because our God is at work and he will not let harm, he will not let evil have the last word. Only his love, his conquering love, will have the last word. CA family, our God is absolutely all-powerful, and he loves you absolutely. When you bring those two things together, you get a God who wills good for your life and a God who has the power to make that good a reality. This is a God who will use even the fire to bring about new life out of death. He's a God who works all things for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Maybe you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, and you can do that even right now. And you're just thinking, wow, if this kind of God is real, if this is true, then I want in. And the way to do that is just this. You just say, Lord Jesus, I recognize my desperate need for you. Would you please come save me? I believe that you died for my sins and that you rose to new life. And I choose to trust you as Savior and follow you as Lord. And if you've done that, I want to say welcome to the family. Please, there's going to be a number up on the screen. Please let us know if you've made a decision to follow Jesus. I myself will personally reach out and connect with you, be sure to encourage you and help you get plugged into our church family. The rest of my church family, CA, I love you. Let's pray and respond and thank God for this deep promise for our lives. Lord Jesus, thank you that nothing, you conquered everything, that there is nothing left that can conquer us, but your resurrection power is at work in our lives, even now, and it will be until all things are made new. God, would you give us courage and boldness in the midst of our trials? And God, would you help us to live with such a hope that we would live as lights in this world, offering the good news of your redemption to all who would say yes to you. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you, CA family.
Thank you again for joining us for our online service today. I want to remind you, if you made a decision to follow Jesus, email or text us so we can follow up with you. I also want to remind you about our daily touch points, our digital discipleship, and our CA students live on Wednesday nights. As we close, leave with this benediction from Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. See you next week.